praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Life Study emphasizes the capital L life that can be found in the Scriptures. Jesus himself said in John 6:63, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." This is the fruit of over 70 years of ministry by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Watchman Nee began his ministry in China in the 1920s, and it continued until his imprisonment and eventual martyrdom in the 1970s. Witness Lee brought this ministry to the United States in 1962 and began speaking these life study messages in 1974, completing it in 1995. To find out more, you can visit our website, lifestudy.com. Again, that's lifestudy.com. Now, let's join today's program. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 2, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says that we have been blessed and have been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Well, it might say that in the Bible, but what does it say in your experience? Day by day, are you in the heavenlies, or do you find yourself spending your time in anxiety? Most of us would have to truthfully answer that we spend much more of our time wrestling with anxiety than enjoying a life with Christ at peace in the heavenlies. The truth is that after man fell, human life became a composition of anxiety and worry. So how is it then that the Apostle Paul also said in Philippians chapter 4, "Let your forbearance be known to all men. The Lord is near. In nothing be anxious." Dick Taylor is with us today for our fourth of five programs on a life full of forbearance without anxiety. Welcome, Brother Dick.
Thank you, Brother Chris. It's really good to be here, and praise the Lord for a life full of forbearance and without one drop of anxiety.
Well, Dick, we have emphasized again and again that this is a book focused on the experience of Christ. To experience Him, we need to live Him, that we can magnify Him. We saw that in chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Then we need to take Him as our pattern and pursue Him as our unique goal. In our Christian life, we should have the unique mind, a mind to pursue Christ and to gain Him. So after covering all these aspects of the experience of Christ, Paul somewhat, I think surprisingly, turns us in chapter 4 to these two matters we're talking about today, forbearance and anxiety. On the positive side, surely we need forbearance, and on the negative side, we would love to be free of anxiety. Why, at the conclusion of such a profound book with so many deep things, Dick, does Paul at the end of the book touch matters like forbearance and anxiety?
Very interesting, Chris, but this book, we can never forget, is a book about living Christ and magnifying Christ. And practically, what does it look like to live Christ and magnify Christ? It looks like living a life full of forbearance and without any anxiety. So Paul brings us to the very practical side of our actual living and our expression. Forbearance is the sum total, we'll see, of the entire Christian life. If you were to add up the Christian life, what's it look like? It looks like forbearance. If you add up the human life apart from Christ, what's it look like? One huge sum of anxiety.
Right.
So these two go together. So practically for us to magnify Christ and to live Christ, what's it look like? It looks like living a life full of forbearance without any anxiety. Very practical.
It is practical, Dick. And as you pointed out, after so many deep and marvelous things related to experience, it seems that Paul turns to something quite shallow in a sense, just forbearance and anxiety. But the reality is behind these two words lies two different sources, and we're going to explore these on our program today. Let's join Witness Lee.
We would cover just two words, forbearance and anxiety. It doesn't sound so well that these two words would go along one with another. But Paul did put these two things together in the conclusion of this book. Now, we must go back to the entire book of the Philippians. We have seen more than clearly that this book is on the experience of Christ. To experience Christ, firstly, we need to live Him, that we may magnify Him. Then we have to take Him as our pattern. Then we have to pursue Him as our goal. Then we will fully gain Him. Paul, in chapter 4, in this concluding chapter, picked up these two things, forbearance and anxiety. Why, Paul, at the end of such a high book, you talk about this little thing, anxiety? In Romans chapter 8, in verse 28, all things work together for our good. What are the all things? Nearly every item of all the things are anxiety. In all these different circumstances of human life, nothing there but anxiety. And you have to realize most of the wrinkles on the forehead of the people came out of anxiety. Anxiety is a word that is the totality of human life. The totality of the human life is what? Anxiety. Anxiety every day. Now you understand why Paul picked up this thing, anxiety. In nothing be anxious. Why Paul picked up this? Because this is the totality of the human life.
Dick, it seems that so far there's not a lot of encouragement from this section. But the Bible is much like an artist. Oftentimes when it's painting a picture, it has to start with a dark or a black background to really set a contrast. I do like what he said. The totality of human life is just anxiety. And it seems not to matter whether you're rich or poor. Of course, a lot of times anxiety is concerning the cares of this life or our financial situation, for example. But I don't know about you. It seems to me that some of the most anxiety-ridden people that I know are maybe the richest.
For sure, that's really true, Chris. And like you mentioned, anxiety is the grand total of the human life. If you sum it all up, it's just one big anxiety. Certainly, the more things you possess, the more anxieties come with all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, for example, you're single and you're just anxious about getting married. Then you possess a wife. Then you have real anxiety. Then you have a child, more anxiety. Then the child has to go to school. You're anxious about going to school. Then eventually they get all the way through school and they go to college, away to university, more anxiety. Then eventually they're at the stage to get married, more anxiety. It's just on and on and on and on. So the human life is just a grand total of anxiety. So in that sense, Chris, what you said is correct. The more you have, whatever you have just brings more anxiety. Of course, you could also have nothing and be anxious because you need something.
Right.
So there's no escape.
There's no escape.
You have nothing and you want something. You have a lot and you're afraid you're going to lose it.
Right.
So there's no escape. On the other hand, it's so good to see Romans 8:28. We know all things work together for good to those who love God. This phrase, all things, indicates that we who are believers are under God's assignment. All things are under His assignment so that we would experience Him and we would live a life full of forbearance and without anxiety. So we have to thank the Lord. In fact, we're the only people in the universe, we believers, Chris, who can thank the Lord for all things.
Right.
And this is a big secret, even to living a life with no anxiety but full of forbearance. Thank the Lord for this word that shows us that the human life is just a life of anxiety. On the other hand, the genuine Christian life is one full of forbearance without anxiety. And this just helps us to do what? To turn to the life that's really life. All of us believers have Christ within us. And there's only one life that is a life full of forbearance without anxiety. That's Christ living in me. We have to say, praise the Lord for Christ living in me. That life in me has no anxiety and is full of forbearance. May we enjoy Him and live Him.
It's amazing, Dick, as you said, if we have nothing, we're anxious because we're trying to get it. And if we obtain it, then we're anxious because we're afraid we're going to lose it.
That's true.
There's no escape except in this one who knows no anxiety.
Amen.
Dick, let's turn the coin over. We've been looking, I would say, at the tails side, the side of anxiety. There's a heads to this coin, according to these verses, and that's a life full of forbearance. Here's Witness Lee once again.
Paul, he knew what was the human life. Nothing but anxiety. And what was the Christian life? Nothing but forbearance. To live Christ is to have forbearance without anxiety. This is to live Christ. For me to live is Christ. And this means what? No anxiety, but full of forbearance. We cannot understand such a chapter as Philippians 4 by studying the Bible merely. We need our experience to tell us what Paul really meant. Forbearance is the totality of the proper Christian life. And what is the totality of the human life? That is anxiety. So Paul picked up these two things to charge us. On the passive side, to let our forbearance be known to all men. Years I heard and got to read a number of books on Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Now it is no longer I, but Christ that lives in me. Actually, I didn't see exactly who was living this way. The answer is in Philippians. Because Paul in Philippians has stepped further. Not only tell us that Christ lives in us, but even the more to tell us that to him is to live Christ. You have to realize to have Christ living us is not so much as to live Christ. This is much further. And to live Christ is to be full of forbearance and no anxiety. If you just have this much anxiety, you are void of Christ this much. How much Christ is here in your daily life, this will be measured by forbearance and anxiety. If you have forbearance, you have Christ. If you have anxiety, you are void of Christ. If you have forbearance, sure you don't have anxiety. If you have anxiety, sure you don't have forbearance. You cannot have both at the same time.
Dick, I think the picture is starting to get a bit more clear. Either we're experiencing Christ, and in that way we are experiencing Him as forbearance, or we're anxious about everything, it seems. We can't have both at the same time. Dick, talk about this contrast from your own experience. Maybe give us a practical illustration.
I have to drive on the freeway a lot, Chris. On the freeway, when you get in those traffic jams like I do many times, I get exposed. Or it gets made clear that I'm enjoying the Lord. When I get in a traffic jam and there's all kind of things happening or people cut you off or that's a time factor involved, you need to be somewhere. If I'm enjoying Christ, I'm full of forbearance without any anxiety. If I'm not, I'm just ridden with anxiety. There is only one person, there's only one life that is full of forbearance with no anxiety, and that's the life of Christ. We need constituted with Him, to be filled with Him, saturated with Him, to the point where, like Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. Every day of our life we're in circumstances that measure us as to whether or not we're full of forbearance with no anxiety or we're full of anxiety with no forbearance. You can't have both.
Right.
Either you have Christ, that means forbearance, or you have anxiety and you're short of Christ. I was thinking of Paul and Silas when they were in prison in Acts 16. The circumstances were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But verse 25 says, about midnight while praying, they sang hymns of praise.
Right.
And there they were rejoicing in the Lord, like Philippians 4 tells us.
Exactly.
Being strengthened by Him, being refreshed by Him, and that life that was full of forbearance was flowing in them. And what were they doing in that situation? Magnifying Christ and living Christ. Well, all of us each day find ourselves in a different kind of prison. It might be the prison of the freeway. It might be the prison of your job with its responsibilities. It might be the prison of your financial situation. We're always in some prison under some circumstances. But we have to realize, number one, these are assigned to us by God that we might turn to Him, we might enjoy Him, and we might lay hold of the life that's really life, the only life full of forbearance with no anxiety. Hallelujah for such a life.
Dick, I'm glad you pointed out about Paul and Silas in prison there in Acts. Actually, when we consider the context in which Paul writes this word in Philippians, once again, he's in prison with every good reason to be fearful, even of his life.
That's true.
It was not that he was standing at a pulpit and there were thousands of supporting saints cheering his word here.
No.
It was quite the opposite circumstance. And that, I think, makes the word even more powerful as it comes to us. It was in that context that he said, in nothing be anxious. We're going to hear about his circumstance in this next section.
If you go into the entire book as a context, you could see in chapter 1, Paul tells us, by that time was he. He was there in prison. And outside of prison, some of his opponents were doing very much to damage his ministry. But listen to what he says. He says, all these will turn out to be a salvation to me. And what is salvation? That is to magnify Christ by living Him. So he says what? He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing, don't forget, this term is repeated in chapter 4, in nothing be anxious, that in nothing I shall be put to shame. His entire circumstance was a totality of anxiety, but in nothing he was anxious, in nothing he was put to shame. But rather Christ was magnified there. How could this be with the Apostle Paul? Because he had forbearance. Then he said, Christ shall be magnified whether through death or through life. I don't care. Death, life could not come into my consideration. I don't consider about death. No life. If I consider about death or life, anxiety. Paul didn't consider about that. To live, okay. To die, also okay. Maybe better. No anxiety. He was not worrying about his martyrdom. Why you are so anxious in your sickness? Because you are afraid to die. If you tell Satan, I don't care for that. To die is not an item for me to be anxious, to worry about. Rather, it is an item for me to what? To magnify Christ.
Amen.
Martyrdom, you would come, please. Welcome. Death, would you come to me? Come. Welcome. No anxiety. Poverty, I like you and I love you, dear poverty. I would kiss you. Come. I would give you a kiss. I don't worry about poverty. The first prerequisite to have no anxiety is to realize that every circumstance is an assignment by our Father.
Amen.
Especially the bad circumstances. Just learn to know whatever comes to us is of our Father.
Amen.
Especially the unprofitable things are His better assignment. So we don't need to worry about anything. This is why Paul says, in nothing be anxious.
Dick, Satan would lose a lot of ground in us if we could really get through in this matter of anxiety. And the key that we just heard is to realize, as you said a moment ago also, that every circumstance is an assignment from our Heavenly Father, especially the ones that seem to be bad to us. It brings us back to the verse in Romans 8:28 that you quoted a while ago, Dick. Add your own final thoughts of encouragement for our listeners today.
I believe I have a word of encouragement for all you who are listening. I have three things I'd like to say. Number one, we must recognize that the prerequisite to having no anxiety but a life full of forbearance is to see that all the circumstances that come to us and that we're in, even the bad ones, are just the Father's assignment. Just like Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good.
Right.
We believers are the only ones who can thank the Father for all things. They're all working for good, and that good is what? To make us the same as the firstborn Son of God, to fill us with Christ. Isn't that good?
Yes, that's good.
Secondly, Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And as it mentions in the footnote in the recovery version, I hope you all have one, it mentions that rejoicing in the Lord is the secret to this marvelous, all-inclusive, precious virtue called forbearance. Let your forbearance be made known to all men. How can we do this? Only by rejoicing in the Lord. We're rejoicing in the person who has gone through incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection. He's become the life-giving Spirit. Now he's come into us to be our life, and this life has not one drop of anxiety, but is rather full of forbearance. So our job as believers is rejoice in him, sing to him, thank him, call on his name. The issue of this is much, much encouragement. You practice. Next time you're in traffic, rejoice in the Lord. Thirdly, as our brother Watchman Nee mentioned in one of his books, we need to have hundreds and thousands of conversations with the Lord.
Right.
Because verse 6 says, in nothing be anxious. That means not even in one thing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God mounts guard over our heart, and that's just Christ himself. So by constantly conversing with the Lord, speaking with the Lord, he fills us with himself, and that life that he's filling us with is a life full of forbearance with no anxiety. So I just give this word of encouragement to all who are listening. Remember,
three things.
Remember these three things. Every circumstance is an assignment from our Father and is working together for good. Number two, rejoice in the Lord always. And number three, never stop conversing with our dear Lord Jesus. Then the result, for to me to live is Christ.
Amen. I want to etch these three, Dick, into my memory indelibly, so I have them with me at all times. The next time I'm on the freeway and someone cuts me off,
I better etch these into my dashboard.
Thank you, Dick. I always get refreshed by your presence, and you're rejoicing. You are full of rejoicing day by day, and that helps lift my anxiety and replace it with a bit of forbearance. Invite you back again very soon.
Thanks a lot, Chris. You help me too. We all help one another.
Yes, we do. We'd like you to help us by contacting us. We provided our toll-free number. We'd love to hear your testimony, your fellowship, as well as tell you about the many items that we have at Living Stream Ministry, especially these life study messages that come along with these programs that we're bringing to you each day and the recovery version that Dick referred to. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or send a letter to us, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or you can dash an email off to us, radio@lsm.org. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you'd like to read the works of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, just visit our website, ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll find over 600 complete titles available to read online free of charge. Witness Lee's ministry stood squarely on the shoulders of his mentor and co-worker, Watchman Nee, as well as those of countless ministers of the New Testament throughout the ages. The riches contained in his life study of the Bible represent the top, the cream of his 70-plus years of ministry, and range in topic from lessons for new believers to commentary and exposition on passages from every book of the Bible. But they all contain practical and deeper truths about the Christian life. Again, this wonderful online resource is available to you free of charge at ministrybooks.org. If you have questions or comments about this ministry or the program you heard today, email us, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.